This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Danielle Venton. Undocumented immigrants in California would be shielded from federal immigration officials under a bill that passed the state Senate yesterday. From KQED's Politics and Government Desk, Katie Orr reports.
Senate Bill 54 would make California a sanctuary state by prohibiting local and state law enforcement agencies from using their resources to help federal immigration officials. The bill comes at a controversial time. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions recently announced sanctuary jurisdictions risk losing federal money. But during the Senate debate, SB 54 author Democratic Senator Kevin DeLeon wasn't deterred by Sessions' remarks.
We're the great state of California. We don't grovel and put our hand out so we can get a little budget money so we can buy a police car. That's not who we are as a great state. Our role and responsibility is to protect all individuals and make sure our communities are safer.
But critics like Republican Senator John Morlock argue California can't afford to anger the federal government.
California has a very precarious budget. It has major unfunded liabilities. It has major retiree medical expenses. It has severe infrastructure concerns. We just don't needs to jeopardize a funding source from the federal government.
The bill has been amended to allow some communication between state and local law enforcement agencies and immigration authorities, but law enforcement groups say it still prohibits agencies from communicating about potentially dangerous people. The measure now moves to the Assembly. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Let's stay with news about California's undocumented residents. The state's move to offer driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants has led to fewer hit-and-run accidents. That's the conclusion of a new study out yesterday from Stanford University. A team of political science researchers examined the short-term effects of AB 60, which took effect in 2015. Contrary to the fears raised by critics, they found it did not affect the rate of fatal accidents, but it did reduce the number of hit and runs. The researchers suggest that's because having a valid driver's license encourages immigrants to purchase auto insurance and reduces the likelihood that they'll flee out of fear of deportation. Governor Jerry Brown made a trip to the state legislature yesterday to back a $52 billion road fix and transportation bill. The repairs will be paid for by a 12-cent increase in the gas tax and annual vehicle fees. Brown told the Senate Appropriations Committee that the time to pass a tax hike is now, while he's still in office.
You know, all the guys running for governor all want to be president, so they're not going to want to raise taxes. This is about your only... I mean, you got a guy who's going nowhere. I have no future. I only have a past.
The committee advanced the legislation on a party-line vote. Republicans stand opposed to the tax hike. The bill now moves to the Senate floor, where a vote is expected this week. It looks like California Senator Dianne Feinstein is running for re-election in 2018. But a new survey from UC Berkeley's Institute of Governmental Studies suggests that Feinstein's age could be a negative for some voters. As KQED's senior editor for California Politics and Government, Scott Schaefer, explains, seniority isn't always a plus.
According to the new UC Berkeley IGS poll, Californians are pretty happy with the job Senator Feinstein is doing. 59% of registered voters approve, while just 41% disapprove. But when asked whether it would be a good thing or a bad thing for Feinstein to seek re-election next year, just under half say that would be good, while 52% say it would be a bad thing. No surprise, Republicans overwhelmingly oppose Feinstein seeking another term, but pollster Mark DiCamillo says the other group not enthused about Feinstein running again is nonpartisan or no-party preference voters.
You know, no-party preference voters often show you which way the wind is blowing on something like this, where it's a partisan issue, and they're more inclined to say it's a bad thing by 60% to 40%.
Among voters told that Senator Feinstein would be 84 years old if she runs again, the number who think another re-election bid would be bad rises to 62%. But when asked who they'd prefer if Feinstein retired, the most popular choice was Jerry Brown, and he'll be 80 next year. Pollster DiCamillo says that indicates voters might not be looking for someone younger, just someone different. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
And in Washington yesterday, Senator Feinstein joined the rest of her Democratic colleagues on the Judiciary Committee in voting against the nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the U.S. Supreme Court. Feinstein said she's disturbed by Gorsuch's role in the Justice Department under President George W. Bush, in which she said Gorsuch appeared to justify the torture of detainees.
Unfortunately, based on Judge Gorsuch's record at the Department of Justice, his tenure on the bench, his appearance before the Senate, and his written questions for the record, I cannot support this nomination.
Judiciary Committee Republicans approved Gorsuch's nomination, sending it to the full Senate, where Democrats say they have enough votes for a filibuster. Need a break from congressional politics? Let's visit Yosemite National Park. Now, people often love seeing black bears when they visit places like Yosemite. But whether the creatures are docile or ferocious, encounters with humans don't always go well for the bears. The park is hoping to improve that. As Valley Public Radio's Ezra David Romero tells us, the park's come up with a new educational website where visitors can actually track the lives of bears in the park and learn how to protect themselves and the animals.
It's Fresno State student Kiong Chang's fifth time to Yosemite National Park. He and his friends are walking along the lower Yosemite Falls Trail to see the rushing Merced River. He still hasn't seen a bear yet, but if he does, he says he has a plan.
If they appear, I would love to, you know, see them. I probably would just quietly, like, just observe them and take a picture.
That's exactly what park officials want people to do, to keep a healthy distance away from them. But training the public to think this way hasn't been easy, says NPS spokesman Scott Gettiman. In 1998, there were almost 1,600 human encounters with bears. But he says that's changing because of technology.
It was not atypical to have three or four vehicles broken into every night.
Bears will rip open car doors or smash windows in search of food. But others are craftier. A park visitor recorded this video of a bear opening a car door with its paws.
Oh my.
Oh my God.
Get out of there.
Today, there's less than 100 bear encounters a year in Yosemite, says NPS wildlife biologist Ryan Leahy. He says that's because park rangers have worked to educate the public on storing food properly and now use technology to track them. We're in a cabin on the edge of Yosemite Valley where Leahy works. He's searching a digital map for bears.
Yeah, it looks like all the bears have gone into their dens.
He says in the past, human interaction with bears often results in having to kill the animals. By using tracking tools like GPS collars, fewer and fewer bears are killed. If a bear gets too close to people, his team can scare it away, catch it, and/or relocate it. Now Leahy tracks bears in real time on an iPad or computer using frequencies from the GPS-collared animals.
But you can see this bear traveled like 30 miles here to go back to where it appears like it's going to den. These circle points are daytime data points, and the stars are night.
Tracking data from the past year points to another trend. Bears are being hit by cars, and speeding is now the biggest threat to bears here. He says about 30 were hit last year, and 10 died.
You're talking about 10% of our bears potentially being hit by vehicles each year. Just slowing down a little bit will give you that stopping distance required to prevent a collision.
In response, his team has created an interactive map-based website where people can see the general areas where bears are hit the most. It's also a place where park visitors can learn all about how to be safe if a bear is around.
All right, boo-boo! On to the picnic biscuit!
Since you're a little kid, you get driven into Yogi and Boo-Boo. Yogi and Boo-Boo is not what these bears are. So what we want to do with this website in a positive way is engage people before they get here.
Leahy hopes the educational site means fewer midnight calls with a dented car and either a dead or wounded bear. For the California Report, I'm Ezra David Romero.
And we end today with this. In February, actor Harrison Ford mistakenly landed his private plane on the wrong runway at Orange County's John Wayne Airport, flying over an airline full of people in the process. News came yesterday that the Federal Aviation Administration has completed its investigation and won't be pursuing any action against Ford. And we think we've unearthed some important testimony from the proceedings.
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
What happened?
Hit a slight weapons malfunction, but everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Conclusion: Han Solo lands his ship wherever he wants.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, data protection, and application delivery solutions for physical networks and public cloud services. Learn more at barracuda.com/products. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, April 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Danielle Venton. Thanks for joining us.